I'm Belle Benson. Welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy on every Thursday. Today, I have a really special guest. She's been on my podcast before and you guys really loved her. So I decided why not bring her back. Her name is Emily Morris. Welcome back.
So happy to be back.
What have you been up to since you gave me all that amazing sex advice?
Well, I want to know what you've been up to since all the sex advice.
Wait, no, this isn't about me.
Yes, it is. We want to hear about your sex life.
No, let's
how
talk.
It's okay, I loved being on your show. I have to say, Violet, our last episode, I just got to know you and love you and adore you even more. And then also, our conversation was just like, it was so intense and great. It was like the greatest hits. Like us together reveal like all that stuff about sex and relationships and how it started out with your like asking about kind of what you can do for a man to get him to like you and get him to be into you.
Like,
and I was like, what about your,
yeah,
like, how do I please them? I'm like, well, what about your pleasure? What about your orgasm? And I just feel like, I even was talking to someone recently. I was like, listen to Violet Benson's podcast that we did because it really was like a great intro to sex. If you've never thought about sex, if you're, I mean, for women and men, but if you're like struggling with orgasm, struggling with self-confidence, body image, how to perform, how to have more orgasms. Like, we literally covered all of it. And it felt really good.
No, we did.
I felt so high when I left. And I wasn't even high.
I remember, like, after the podcast, I was so thankful for the episode. Because I do remember that I even emailed you and I thank you. Because it was mind-blowing for me. It was the first time that I finally kind of understood my body better. And the fact that I deserve pleasure, too. And I feel like it completely changed my perspective. And in a weird way, it made me want to hook up with guys more, but then also I didn't feel suddenly insecure, worried about them getting pleasure, even though I want them to, but it was more like about like, I want to make sure I come first or whatever. But then, you know, as much as like I have that in my head, sometimes I feel like it changes and I forget about my own pleasure and I want to focus on the guy.
Right.
And I'm like, no, V, remember what Emily told you, like, you need to come first.
Yeah. Well, just because also, and it's not even like saying that guys' pleasure isn't important, because of course, like, I'm a giver, I'm a pleaser. I want my guys to feel good, but I just realize that she comes first is a thing because it's hard. It's more challenging for women to orgasm. It is. We pretty much know he's going to get off. He's happier they're having sex with them. So how can women kind of learn to figure out what they like and then explain that to a partner and being like, I'm not going to give you a blowjob if you're not going to do stuff to me. And it's like a quid pro quo. Like, we have to, I think that for women, we are pleasers. Typically, we want to give, 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 and then just like learning how to receive. So I still do that too. I'm like, oh, he didn't come, but I did. Okay. He seems okay with it. So.
Okay. So I have like a bunch of questions for you, but I just, this one question is on the top of my head and I just need to know. Okay. So recently, I don't know if I told you or not, but recently I had sex.
Awesome.
I'm waiting for everyone to be like,
I don't know how long it's been, but
it was 10, 11 months.
I feel like you'd be swatting the boys off you. But anyway.
I should be having more
sex. Oh, it's the first time.
With a ton of guys.
Okay, first time in 10, 11 months.
Yes. We had sex a couple of times. But my question is this. Why have I not been able to come with him? And it's not because he's doing something wrong. But for some reason, here's my question.
Okay.
Sometimes when you have sex with someone that you like, I don't know if it's like the nerves or what it is, but I haven't been able to come with him. And then when I masturbate, even thinking of him, I like come like multiple times. And then when I'm with him, I like can't get an orgasm. Like, it feels like I'm about to get there and then I don't. And I'm like, even I use a vibrator in and I'm like, what am I doing wrong? Like, why can't, now I'm overthinking it.
Right,
and I'm like, what am I doing wrong?
That's it. It's the overthinking. It's because you're in your head. Think about it this way. When we are really in our head during sex, the blood is rushing to your brain and away from your genitals because it needs all that energy. So what we want to do is when the thoughts start coming in, you just got to breathe. You got to breathe into your pelvic floor. Breathe into your vagina, your pelvic floor,
you
whatever you want.
Breathe into your vagina.
Yeah. Like literally like, I mean, your breath doesn't actually go there, but you're like deep, deep. And then, and every time you do that, you reset. Even if you're during sex, you're like, let's just breathe. And then your mind will just, it'll go away. And then you just keep breathing. And you got to bring that energy back down there. Cause you're like, am I going to come? Why can't I come? I didn't come last time. Oh, does he like me? And then you start going off.
I just like try to focus so hard on coming. And then even if we finish and I still want to, like, I'll try to use a vibrator when we finish, I still can't come. And I'm like, Why?
So you can't, and usually when you're on your own, are you using a toy on your own too?
When I'm doing it myself?
Yeah.
Yeah, a vibrator.
Right, a vibrator. So how about if, I mean, when she comes first, like, was he going down on you? Was he pleasing you at first? Could he use the toy on you? Because maybe after he already came, maybe you sensed that he was kind of not as focused. You really couldn't come with the toy.
With the toy, while even when he went down on me. And like, it felt like I went past, like this one time when he went down me, it felt like it went past the like orgasm point. Like you could have reached an orgasm, but then you did it and now you can't go back there.
Yeah, it's like, oh, blocking. About? Yes. So it's like the disappearing orgasm.
And I'm just so disappointed. So that brings me to my next question.
It'll happen.
Okay. So my next question is this. So now it's like all about me. Here's my next question.
It's great. Yeah.
I usually used to get really attached to guys. I used to think that I get attached to guys after I sleep with them. So that was my thought process. And because that's usually how I am. And I made jokes about it before. But then the first time I slept with this guy, I don't know if it's because we had some, not arguments, but I don't know if it's because I was so scared of like getting attached and what it was, but after we slept together, this one night when I was really drunk, so I could barely remember, I felt like I didn't feel anything for him. And that made me think that meant that the sex was bad and that's why I didn't feel attached to him. So I was like, oh, the sex must have sucked. Like, so my question is, do you only get attached if the sex is good, or does the attachment change with age? Like as you get older, you become like less attached to a guy after you have sex with him?
Well, first of all, I think those are great questions. I think it's a case by case basis and it's also a personal thing. I feel like from knowing you that you've been doing a lot of introspection lately, you've really been working on yourself. You have been changing and growing a lot. And I don't think like there's people in their 40s, 30 who haven't done a lot of the work. So I feel like that maybe it's not that the sex was bad. It's more about where you're at right now. And maybe you realize like, it's not just about the sex. Maybe the whole picture with the guy is why you're not getting attached. Or maybe you're realizing that there's more things that you want right now. I don't think it's an easy answer like good sex, bad sex. Like bad sex, not attached. Good sex, he's going to be my future husband. I feel like you're seeing the gradations of it now and that you have more information to make these kind of decisions and that there's more into it rather than I sleep with them and I'm in love and I don't and I'm not in love. Do you know what I mean? I think it's you and not the guy.
Oh.
That's what I think.
Yeah, because I was really confused. I was like, oh, so I don't like him? And then the minute I felt like I didn't feel fully attached after the sex, I was like, oh, I must not like this guy anymore. But then a few days later, I was like, oh, no, I still do.
Yeah.
But I think I've just been so questioning myself.
And about everything,
yeah,
right?
And I think maybe that's why I also haven't, like, as much as I do enjoy, I have enjoyed, like, hooking up with him,
What do you not, let's just break this down, if you don't mind. Like, who knows? But is it, like, what are you looking for right now? A real, like, a relationship that's support? Are you just looking to hook up? Are you looking for, like, the one?
Oh, you know, with all honesty, I guess I'm looking for, like, my person. Okay. So maybe that's why I didn't fully get attached, because I wasn't sure if he was my person.
But, was there things about him that were, because often we're thinking, like, what did I do? What did I feel? Maybe there were some things that were said or done that you were like, he's not my guy. Did he treat you well?
Yeah, he's the best.
Okay. He's the best in a lot of ways.
I'm just so scared he's going to listen to this episode, so I don't, don't know what to say because I don't want it to.
Does he listen? They always say they don't, but they do.
I feel like he may. No, it's not. It's not him. I think he could potentially be my person, but I think because he had some fears, it caught me by surprise, and then those fears, like it's almost like, you know how sometimes you keep pushing people away and eventually they really do like leave?
Yeah.
And it's not on purpose. It's just because you're so scared of getting hurt, even though you may like the person a lot. Because I used to do that when I was younger. I think that's what happened with us, with him, what he was doing to me. And in a weird way, like it was working what he was doing. So it was making me more and more detached.
He's scared of getting hurt too?
More than me.
Okay.
Like I would have jumped in like because I want to get to know the person, you know, so to see if we could date or not. But I think he was more scared. So I think maybe, I guess subconsciously I was then, even when we hooked up, constantly detaching myself from being in the moment. So maybe that's why.
Have you guys talked about it? Have you been like, hey, we're both kind of freaking out. We don't know what we want. Like, what if you just call it that? And you were like, you're pushing me, then I'm pushing you. Like, let's just be real about what's going on right now. I enjoy spending time with you. I know you can have those conversations. It saves time.
I don't know. It's weird. Like, even I don't even want to talk about this.
Okay, but just in general, talking about, okay, so let's pretend it's not even him, the next guy you're with or whoever. And you're like, I want to have an orgasm. Am I going to have an orgasm? That's what we're kind of talking about right now, right? Is you having more pleasure? Because you haven't had sex in that long.
That's probably why I haven't been able, I wasn't able to get an orgasm, because I detached myself from being in the moment.
Yeah, because you had fear. And then also you haven't had sex in 10 months. So it's like if you went to the gym for the first time in 10 months, how would that workout sesh have been?
It would be hard, but after you like, by the way, you guys, everyone should use lube. So after Emily gave me lube, which I've never used in my life before, and I used it masturbating.
Have to use lube masturbating.
Amazing.
You guys, lube is lube on every nightstand is my dream.
Hey guys, I quickly want to talk to you about Sweet Vibrations, one of our sponsors. Based out of sunny San Diego, Sweet Vibrations is an adult boutique that delivers innovative, intimate lifestyle products that gives you guys a moment of complete sexual bliss, because everyone deserves their O. They have a bunch of different products. One of my favorite products is the Pixie. It's basically a discreet clitoris vibrator made to fit in the palm of your hand. So you can take it, you know, for like your lunch breaks at work or like traffic, or don't do that. Just like whatever. Like, I just love that it just fits anywhere. It's a waterproof and rechargeable silicone vibrator with 10 playful settings that provides incredible sensations where it feels the best. The company offers a lifetime satisfaction pledge, and each product comes with a forever warranty. Products are consistently ranked as bestsellers on Amazon, so that's why you should definitely check it out. My listeners get a special offer when you visit sweetvibes.toys and enter my promo code BECRAZY, and you will receive 15% off of your first order. Again, if you visit sweetvibes.toys and enter my promo code BECRAZY, you can receive 15% off of your order. So that's sweetvibes.toys. And enter my promo code BECRAZY, BECRAZY, to receive 15% off of your toy. You won't regret it. Hey guys, me again. Let's talk about our other sponsor, HelloFresh. HelloFresh is basically America's number one meal kit. It's easy, seasonal recipes, pre-measured ingredients, and it's delivered right to your door. If you're like me and you don't love cooking, or you literally don't ever cook, this is perfect for you. Or you're just like overcooking, because it's like, you know, you deserve your own pampering time, and why not cut down the cooking time to at least like 30 minutes? And that's where HelloFresh comes in. HelloFresh makes cooking delicious meals at home a reality. It's basically step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, and you constantly have your wow dinner, lunch, or breakfast in 30 minutes. HelloFresh has more five-star recipes than any other meal kit, so you'll know you're going to get something delicious. The best part about HelloFresh is that you can add extra meals to your weekly order. You can take meals out. There's different add-ons like garlic bread, cookie dough, and different things like that. You can easily change your delivery days, your food preferences, and even skip a week if you want to. I've been using HelloFresh recently, and I honestly love it, especially, like I said before, all I can cook is like cereal, and sometimes I even fail at that. So HelloFresh has been making my life a lot easier. So for $80 off of your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/Benson80 and enter promo code Benson80. Once again, for $80 off of your first month of HelloFresh, go to HelloFresh.com/Benson80 and enter Benson80. It's basically like 8 meals for free, or you could say it's like getting $20 off of your first 4 boxes. So once again, go to HelloFresh.com/Benson80 and enter Benson80 for $80 off of your first month. I agree. Wait, okay. So moving on for me, I don't know what's going to happen with this guy, where I stand with him, but like I also, it's weird. Like, I'm not even like freaked out or upset. I just feel like my brain kind of feels like everything's gonna work out, whether together or not. Like, so I just feel at ease. That's why I'm not stressed out.
Okay, good. I love it.
But he's like, he's honestly, if I really think about who he is as a person, he's like one of the best people I've ever met. And like, I love everything about him. So like, even if we don't work out, like, I do want him to find like happiness. Honestly do.
Okay, that's good. Well, let me say one more thing though about women and orgasms, is that typically when we feel safe with someone and we feel connected, and that's when we're more likely to orgasm. So it was the first time you've been with him, you haven't been with anyone in a while, like there's a lot of factors going on about the orgasm. Doesn't matter.
Okay,
first time with some part. No, most women don't have orgasms the first time.
You're right. I started to feel self-conscious about my body.
Just text me, dude. I'll tell you.
You're right, because I started to feel self-conscious about my body, and I wasn't like as like sexual as I normally would be in the bedroom, and that was annoying. So you're right. That's probably what it was. So you have to feel safe and comfortable with a guy in order to really let go and orgasm in the bedroom.
Some people can, but for many women, it's like when they feel like they're equally into each other. They don't feel like he's an asshole and going to leave. Why would we feel? Because having an orgasm is the process of letting go. It's like, I don't care about my orgasm phase. I don't care what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have an orgasm. But if we're still like, does he like me? Does he think I'm hot? Do I like him? We can't. It's not good breeding ground for orgasm.
So speaking of like letting go and just like breathing in and out while you have sex to get an orgasm, is it normal for women to, this hasn't happened to me. This is not how it's leading. I'm just reading now questions from fans who were asking me questions. I mean, I shouldn't have had the disclosure, but I'm just really weird about this one part I'm about to say. Anyway, is it normal for a woman to accidentally pass gas because you have to let go, like,
yes,
you know, breathe in and breathe out? So while she gets an orgasm, is it normal for a woman to pass
gas? Very common, and just let it go. The more you're like, literally let go that you let, you just keep going. So what? Like if you're with a partner who's like, ha, 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 can't believe you farted. Oh, gross.
What if it's your person? Down
I think
you.
It's maturity. That happens too, dude. A cool person is fine with it. You just keep going. You just keep going. Like if it's like a horrible one and you're like, oh, you guys can laugh about it. But like, honestly, that's happened to me. That's happened to people have called in the show. And I think when you, and it could be a sign of maturity. Like if you're 20, you're probably like freaked out. But I think the older you get, you're like, yeah, sex is messy. It's loud. It's dirty. You make noises. You do weird things. It's not this beautiful
thing that you see. Can you just lie and say that you queefed?
Sure. You could trade it for a queef. Okay. But what are you going to do? Like, oh, that was a queef, just so you know. No, you just keep going. You could like smile for a second, but just if you don't pay attention to it and they don't, like you're having sex. Like that's the main event. But it's not always as pretty as we want it to be.
I'm not going to lie. I want to be mature about it, but I really hope to God this never happens to me. And I feel like as I just said that, 100%, I bet that's going to happen to me I wish that wouldn't happen to me.
Okay, but it's like, so what? It happens because you're letting, like in a
I'm
way.
I'm never having sex again.
That's it.
Too scared.
Dude, it happens. I think it's a good sign if you let go and you pass gas or you queef because you're not in the moment. It's fine. Because I mean, you're not in that moment. You're not worried and like, what if you felt it and then you're clenching and then you're like, and then that's worse. I think good sex is messy, loud, dirty, and hot.
Okay, so speaking of the good sex, what's up with, what's a normal amount of fluid during sex and after sex? Because I have read some questions from fans where some of them get embarrassed, not even just getting too wet, about like the amount of fluids that happen during sex and after, and also like the scent afterwards. Like, so is there like a normal amount or normal type of smell, or like, no. Should you be worried if it's too much? Or
okay,
what?
I don't think you should be worried about any of that stuff because it, first of all, it fluctuates different times a month because of our hormones. Different times in your cycle, you might be more wet. And then there's times of the month, like literally where you are not wet enough, like when you're ovulating, there's just different times. So it's never gonna, you're never the same. Your body is not the same. It's gonna change from week to week. And so as far as fluids coming out, some people are really wet, some people aren't. I don't think, there's nothing that's not normal when it comes to that. There's not like, well, I measured a cup and last week it was half a cup, so what's wrong with me? So no, but if odors, and also if there's not like a normal odor or scent, the vagina is self-cleaning, self-lubricating. So you're supposed to be fine, like don't douche and all that. But if it changes and the odor is like fishy or something you haven't had before, then you might have an infection. You might have bacterial vaginosis, a yeast infection, and then go to your gynecologist and you can take something and it'll be cleared up.
So throughout the month, your vagina scent changes?
It can change. You can have discharge certain times a month and other times you
especially
don't.
Especially like right before if you're on your
the
period.
Before your period, during your period. If you're on the pill, things can change too. You are drier at different times. So yeah, there's nothing wrong with you. And that's why lube is awesome. Just a few drops.
Okay, I can't believe I'm going to admit this because I'm really embarrassed to admit this, but I guess it make maybe other people feel better. Like the second time I slept with this guy, the second time I had sex this year, it was right before my period and I was feeling like my vagina feels different and I was really nervous about it. And I think that was one of the reasons I couldn't orgasm because I felt like, I don't know if my scent was different or I just felt like there was something not off about my vagina. It felt different and I felt so uncomfortable and embarrassed. And then like, even after he fingered me, I was like, oh, wash your pants. And then I felt like I was like really nervous if like my vagina smelled or something. And then like that's why I didn't want him to like go down right. on me or like touch me down there, or like I couldn't fully be in the moment.
Okay.
Because I was nervous that I'm disgusting.
Yeah, you're not. I mean, here's the thing. What felt different? The texture, the
a lot of times drier. Before you get your period, you tend to a lot of women before their period, they tend to get a minor yeast infection, and maybe not even a real yeast infection, but it's like a little more like,
well, it can be a little drier. There can be more discharge. There can be yes. more happening right before you're about to have your yeah, period.
Yeah, and I felt like I was wondering if that was happening to me, but maybe I was just in my head. So how do you prevent, like, should you just like taste yourself before you have sex and make sure you're good down there? Or
you
like
could taste, you could have it set, you know, set check. Yeah, for sure. Like, see, how do I smell? I always wipe up before sex. Like, I always use a washcloth, go in the bathroom, use a wipe. There's just great yeah. sex wipes, like called Freshies. And you just kind of, I don't know, I just have them by my bed. I'm like, wipe up. So, but sometimes it could be something's changed. It's just hormones.
So
it's
women's
bodies.
You've never felt embarrassed about like.
Oh, I have for sure. I'm trying to, yeah. I mean, of course, I've had things that were like.
Would that ever prevent you from having sex if you're not sure?
If I had an infection or something, or of course.
I didn't have an infection.
No, but like, I'm trying to think. No, I've had like a yeast infection. I've had everything. So yeah, there have been times where I was like, I'm not, something's off, and then maybe I don't have sex. Or there have been times where after we have sex, I'm like, oh, I feel like. Something's off, and I just will say something. I'm like, it's just women. That's what happens to us. I think the more we call it, we're so shameful about our bodies, about
and
our periods.
Men like, don't care. Their balls can smell so bad, and they yes. like they'll still be they like, don't care. Can you blow me?
Exactly. They don't care, dude. The guys you want to be with are not going to care. That's They're going to understand that every woman is different.
Yeah, that's true. So speaking of sex again, what's do you have a good method for good sex during period? Do you believe in period sex?
I do, absolutely. I think that every woman gets to decide if period sex is right for her. Like for some women, yeah. So then just put a towel down.
That's the method?
That's it. That's the method.
Just put a towel down.
Yeah, it's messy. Wow. Take a shower together. Have shower sex.
Oh my God, wait. There's no way you like having sex in the shower.
Okay, well,
that becomes a slip and slide.
Well, this is because I have methods for that.
What's your method?
Oh my God, there's a company called Sport Sheets, and they have a line called Sex in the Shower, and they have this really cool like thing that you could. It's like these. I have a great video on my Instagram, but like you suction bars that you put up so it holds you in place, and then there's a thing for your feet, and it keeps you in line. Like, it's in my shower. That's one thing. And also, I feel like you need lube in the shower. I mean, you don't have to buy anything, but bring your toys in the shower, bring lube, and then if you want to have sex in the shower, it is can be dangerous. You can just do this thing where you bend over and you grab like your legs, so you're like anchored, like you bend over and you're grabbing him if he wants to enter you from behind, or just have foreplay in the shower.
No, okay, forget that part. I'm talking about, because of all the water going down, doesn't become eventually a slip and slide into your vagina and no one can feel anything?
Well, that's why, no, that's actually, it actually dries you out. And that's why you have to use lube. Have some silicone, put that, I think I gave you Uber lube in the shower.
Wait, that dries you out?
Yeah, which is funny. You think that like, if you're in the shower that you're gonna be really wet, but you actually, it actually has the reverse effect of it can dry you out. So you actually need lube in the shower.
What about sex in a hot tub or a pool?
Not safe.
Not
that's where you can get bacteria infections and things like that. Yeah, sorry to burst your bubble because I hated when I found that out as well.
Yeah, I mean, with one of my ex-boyfriends, I had sex. I like wanted to make out like some sexy night. I was visiting him and he lived out of state and we had sex in a bath and I got a UTI.
Yeah,
after.
You can get a UTI. There's like, because it also, it's drier. And then there can be tearing, so you can get a UTI. And also, if you're in a hot tub, there's all those chemicals.
But that's when all the water goes in your vagina, so that doesn't feel great, right?
Where, in the hot tub?
In the hot tub or in...
Yeah,
in,
and it dries it out. I'm telling you, it's a weird thing. And there's chemicals that they're using to clean the hot tub. Like, you don't want that inside of you. You can have foreplay in the tub, make out, and then throw a towel down again, and then have sex outside the hot tub. It seems really hot and romantic and all these things and all the TV shows, like sex in the hot tub, but it's just not all that's cracked up to be.
I had sex in a hot tub the first time with one of my ex-boyfriends, the first time we had sex. And like after a while, I couldn't feel it because yeah. I felt like it was slip and slide. But maybe his penis was small. His penis it's was small.
See, women are so quick to judge ourselves for being like, looser, I can't feel it. It's my fault. But maybe he just was small. We're not hard.
Do you have any tips for good sex with men who do have smaller penises? Because obviously, every size is beautiful, and like it doesn't fully matter. The size doesn't matter. So do you have any tips?
I do. So for many women, first of all, let me just say this. Our orgasms happen not through a penis. So just know that only 20% of women orgasm regularly through intercourse, through penetration because of the penis. And it's not even because the penis is so massive and big. That's a preference. Like, it might feel good. Sure, there's women who are like, oh, bigger, better. I like that feeling of fullness. But your G-spot or internal clitoral nerves where you can have an orgasm are only like an inch and a half inside anyway. So it's not even about the deep thrusts that are going to allow us to have an orgasm. But if you want to feel more fuller, feel more of a fullness, and you're with someone who's smaller, it helps to put a pillow, like if he's on the bottom, to have like put a pillow underneath his butt, so he's like elevated, or his like lower back, because that helps you feeling more. So he's elevated, or you're, so you know what I'm saying, because he's up more, so there's like deeper penetration that
Got
way.
It
can also help to have like doggy style sex, like if you're lying on the back of the bed and like you're folded over the bed, then he can have deeper penetration that way. Like if you're like against the wall and like you're leaning back, that allows for deeper. Like anytime we're bending, it allows for deeper penetration for him as well. I'm trying to think, what are the other positions? Woman on top is great, because then you also are, that's when he can put a pillow underneath him. If you're on top and he's on the bottom, it elevates him more, like his, so he's, you're getting his entire girth, and then you're on top. So you're controlling the depth, the penetration, the motion, all those things, the speed.
So does deeper penetration give you better pleasure, or is that a myth?
For many, like, we just like how it feels, the girth. So, but no, I mean, it's not a myth. It's just different for everybody. Some people are like, women are like, I want girth, not length. It's more about the girth and the fullness than it is like the length of the penis. I'm telling you, like, and a lot of sex is about, can they please you with their mouth? Can they please you with their hands?
Hi, guys. So one of our last sponsors is Simple Health. It's all about a care that fits your life, making birth control super simple, convenient, and affordable with online prescription and free home delivery. Whether you are brand new to birth control, or you are just tired with like showing up at the pharmacy, waiting in line, and all the renewals and all the health insurance stuff, then Simple Health is perfect for you. All you need to do is fill out an online health profile. A doctor reviews that you're a good candidate for the birth control and writes your prescription. You can pick up the birth control that fits best for you, and then your birth control ships to your door monthly, no interruptions. It's free with most insurance plans, and it starts at about $15 a month without insurance, which is super, super cheap. If you don't believe me, check out all the reviews. They speak for themselves, because Simple Health has been rated 5 stars by hundreds and hundreds of women. Simple Health puts women in charge of their own health in a world where women's health policy is dictated by men, governments, or insurance plans. You can use insurance, like I said before, with Simple Health, and birth control is free with most insurance plans. Or if you don't have insurance, it's literally just $15 a month, and delivery is free literally for everyone. So don't miss your chance to try Simple Health for free with my code by going to simplehealth.com/violet. Or entering the code VIOLET at checkout. Once again, that's simplehealth.com/violet. Or entering my code VIOLET at checkout. That's VIOLET, like the color purple. So once again, that's simplehealth.com/violet. Or enter my code VIOLET at Simple Health for free. One last thing I want to add is that Simple Health is not a replacement for routine checkups with your doctor. So make sure you're still being safe. You're still going to a doctor, you're getting tested, you're getting checked for everything. And then don't forget to check out the birth control, because they are free from free home delivery and free with most insurances. I love birth control and you should too. The best advice, the most amazing advice, which I haven't used yet, which is so annoying, but the best way to go down a girl.
The Kivin method.
Yeah. I want you to re-talk about, re-mention it in case anyone hasn't done it yet.
You missed it. Okay. The Kivin method to oral sex. And we have a lot of this at my website, sexwithemily.com, or my podcast, because people are like, I want to see a diagram. So essentially, the Kivin method is brilliant because it's, so you're lying down on your back. The woman's lying down on her back like this. She's facing the ceiling. Your partner is coming. I wish we had like sex dolls or something. Your partner.
I'll do it.
So you're lying down. Your partner's coming in perpendicular. I could come over to you. Yeah. You're lying down. So he's. Can I walk over? Right. Okay.
You're good.
So he's coming in.
Wait.
He's, do it. Okay. So he's coming in this way. You're lying flat. You're chilling. He's coming in perpendicular. So this way, he's going on your clitoris, right? Your clitoris is there. And your legs could just be, but he's going back and forth. He's licking this way, back and forth, because then he's covering more of the clitoral nerves rather than up and down. And what I'm explaining here is like from your left to your right, like going from thigh to thigh rather than eyeballs to your toes, because he's covering more surface area. So he's licking back and forth, perpendicular. He's lying perpendicular. His mouth is going back and forth, not up and down. You don't even need to, because you could just be lying. Okay, we're going to have sex. You're so cute. Show him that. Show him the freaking diagram. Because you're okay. Covering more surface area of the clitoris. Do y'all get that if you're watching the video?
Okay, so I definitely want to try with the next guy that goes down on me.
Yes, send him the link. I sent it to my boyfriend. The next guy
goes down on me.
No, not now. Ex-boyfriend. You're like, you have a boyfriend? Ooh. Ex. Years okay. ago. I was like, do this tonight.
Yeah.
Let me know if you have questions.
The next guy that goes down on me, I'm going to be like, no. Position your body differently. Eat me out
it's
like
It's easier
this.
For them too. And the reason why it's so popular, I mean, I talked about it on my show once, and I literally have never had so many goddamn callers who were like, thank you. I've been with my wife, my partner for 5 years, 10 years. She's never come so quickly. It was the best orgasm she ever had, blah, blah, blah. It works. You're covering more surface. The clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings, and it allows you to lick most of them.
I love it. I love my clitoris. I'm so thankful for it.
Good. Every night, are you like, I'm grateful?
I haven't even masturbated clitoris. In a while. What's a healthy, how much is good masturbating and how much is too much?
You know, that differs for men and for women. I think women, if they have the time and the energy, they could masturbate every day, twice a day.
Is it better pleasure to masturbate with putting something inside of you, or is it still going to be good if you just masturbate with just on your clitoris because you don't have...
It's all good. It's all good. Listen, I think for many women, their first orgasms and their first experience, and I think the majority of women still, it's clitoral. They're on the outside. Yeah. They're not putting their fingers inside of them, which is so funny because men always assume that when we say vibrators, that they're these big phallic things.
Dildos.
You've seen, I've given you, yeah, dildos. Yeah. I've given you, they're like little tiny, oh, and I have like my vibrator necklace on, which is like, this is a new necklace I have. Did I tell you about this? I have to bring you one because we just sold out.
Yeah, I want one.
I know. I'm gonna get you one. So this is called the Crave Vesper. It's a friggin' necklace and it's a really powerful vibrator. So here's the thing. This can give you a killer orgasm. It looks like a pen. It looks like like your pinky. It's the size
it's
of your
just
pinky.
Like a vibrator for the go on the go.
Yeah, you always have it around your neck
while you're driving.
Yeah,
while
for real
in a meeting,
you're in traffic.
Just really quick.
And a lot of women just require vibrators. Like they're not going to get it from anything else. So now you always fucking have it around your neck, and it's pretty. Like I mixed it in with my jewelry.
No, that's
so. This is how most vibrators are. They're small, or they're round, or they're little clitoral things. So yeah, for women. Now, internally, it's the G-spot or clitoral nerves, whatever people want to call it, because there's an interior spot for women where you can also have orgasms, but it typically, for most women, having a clitoral orgasm first can help you have other kinds of orgasms if you're into that, but for most women, they're just clitoris, they're rubbing, they're doing that.
How do you convince, you know, I'm not going to ask this because I don't know if I'll have anal anytime soon, but I'm dying to have anal. Okay. Wait, the other question that I did have is that...
You know all your listeners are going to be like, why didn't you talk about anal?
Okay. I've been wanting to have anal. I don't know why. I've just been dying to have it. Because I haven't had it in so long. I've just been wanting to get back into it.
Get back into anal. Anyway. I'm gonna get back into my workout routine, my anal, eating healthy. No.
I just haven't found the right guy for the anal. Anyway, my other question is that... With what you do for a living, which honestly is amazing because you're helping so many women. And by the way, like anyone that doesn't know Emily, she not only is the best with like sex advice and all that, and she's so good at it and smart. She's also like such a sweet, like kind, amazing woman and inspiring. Yeah. And like, I love how down to earth you are. So my question is that people who don't know you, especially men, do you feel like the type of job that you have prevents you from meeting the right guys or guys who maybe want to date you or they are too afraid to date you because they think you're like a sex goddess or they get the wrong idea when it comes to dating you?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've been doing this for 14 years. So I have to think that there are some guys who are definitely intimidated because an expert at sex, like, and I'm still trying to figure out my own sex life. But I also think that those aren't my guys. Do you know what I mean? Like a guy who is super intimidated. He wouldn't even come into my purview. I won't know him. And if he's at home and I really want to ask Emily out, but I'm so nervous that she's going to be in the bedroom and like be like barking out orders. Like, I literally think these guys think that I'm like going to be sitting there with a bullhorn, like to the left, to the left, to the right, buddy. Like, what are you doing? And I'm not, I've been like a normal, I'm pretty, I could do anything in the bedroom, but I'm not going to be like pulling out all the stops, even though I have a house full of sex toys and gadgets and gizmos. But I'm not, yeah, I think guys have been intimidating, but they're not for me. But maybe it has prevented me. I'm not with anyone right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not, I'm chill and down to earth and cool. My job is sex. Yeah.
But do you ever feel like because you have this empire that guys are intimidated or they just feel like, do you ever feel like it's harder for you to date because you're successful? Forget even the sex part.
Yeah, I do. I think it takes a certain type of man. To be, well, you probably have this as well, to be with a woman who kills it, who makes her, we don't need them for their money. I don't care if they buy me stuff or pay for dinner or any of that. Like, I think that could be, especially if they're struggling, especially in LA, like they're trying to make it, they're building a brand.
Yeah.
They're trying to get more followers and you're killing it. You know, like I feel like that can be intimidating. So it takes a guy who's done his work, has a strong, say who has self-confidence.
Yeah.
And has emotional intelligence. And I think that is something you cannot teach. And I think that, and by emotional intelligence, I mean, like, you've done work. You've gone to therapy. Everyone needs therapy. Start now. Start in your 20s, your 30s. Like, it's never too late, but get into therapy. Your insurance covers it. You might have to pay a little bit, but it's the best money you can ever spend.
Yeah.
And so I think guys who are freaked out by that shit, like, they're, again, not our people. We will find that person that isn't, that already has their own stuff going on, and they look at you or they look at me and they're like, wow, Violet, you're killing it. I'm so proud of you, girl, what you've done on your own, like, the last whatever years. That is hot. Like, that's the sexiest thing about you.
Like, they're that's so the guy confident.
Yeah, they're so confident that it doesn't take away from them, that they're like, that's part of what they're so into. Yeah. And I think I've dated guys who are into it at first, but then they're like, they see my money coming in or what I'm doing, and then that can be intimidating because they're still working on themselves or they're still struggling. It's hard. It's hard when you're with people who just don't have it yet.
But a lot of like men, I feel like they don't realize that we are looking for different things. So like success and our like the type of success we look for is different. Like a lot, what I look for in a man is like stability, just emotionally, that is up there, like lifting me up, inspiring me. I inspire him. I feel emotionally safe with him, physically safe with him. So mentally safe with him. So like, it's about for me feeling safe and knowing he's there for me versus, oh, cause like one of my ex-boyfriends was so rich and I never felt emotionally connected to him. Yeah. So it didn't matter what he could buy me or where he could take me. I just wanted to connect with him or talk to him. And like, I just never got
same.
That.
Yeah. No, I've had that too. I've dated guys with money, without money, all the things. And they're just either you have the connection or you don't. But the thing is, it can be really hard for men to kind of reconcile this like primal urge to be the caretaker, to be the one who's dominant, to be the one who's, you know, leading and you know, killing, going out and killing the bear. Like our ancestors, like, I need to hunt and kill and provide. And so I think that there's something very primal about it when guys are like, well, if you don't need me in that way and you're making more than me, it just makes me feel like less of a man. But I do think we're in a different time right now, 2019, where women and men are, but we're all killing it. We're doing well and we don't need each other in the same way. So that's why we're seeing the decline in marriage, decline in births, all these things happening because people are like, I don't know why I need this. And so I think we're all trying to redefine what relationships look like, and people are more into open relationships or they're dating longer and delaying marriage. Yeah. So the divorce rate has gone down only because we're delaying marriage. We're waiting until we're older, more mature to get married.
What are your thoughts on open relationships?
My thoughts are that for people I know that are in healthy open relationships, whether it's polyamory or swinging, they operate with the most intense communication I've ever seen. Like, everything's on the table. They're talking about stuff every day. They're working through jealousy. They're working through insecurities, but they're doing it together. And I actually have several people, friends, listeners who actually have made it work. I know that for most people, like, that can't work. That just means you want to bang other people. But if these are the people who are in these relationships realize that they can either love many people, or they usually have a primary partner, or they see sex as just like, yeah, it's like we went to a play tonight. We went to sex. We saw a movie, or we had sex. They just use it as like, it's an activity. It felt good. It filled them up, but they still have their primary partner, and they don't. They might still get jealous, but they literally process it to the point where they eventually, for many of them, they get off on hearing like, how was it with that guy last night? What did he do to you? And again, not for everybody, but also monogamy is not for everybody. I know many people who are unhappy with monogamy. And I think people are starting to realize now that open relationships isn't some crazy hippy dippy thing, that if they both kind of want to experiment and play together, once they set boundaries and they operate this, they have to have really fierce communication and honesty, that it works for them.
But do you feel like some women, men maybe too, but do you feel like some partners maybe agree to open relationships because they don't want to lose their partner and they don't want their partner to cheat on them? So it's almost like they do it because they have to, but they don't actually enjoy it.
Yeah, it's kind of like threesomes. Like, yeah, okay, I guess I'll make out with a chick because you want the threesome or whatever. But yeah, and I think that's the wrong. Don't ever say yes to it, something sexually or romantically that doesn't feel good to you. So, but those aren't the people I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that, like, I know. Like, I have some personal friends intimately. I've known them for 10 years, 5 years, and they operate in a really healthy, like, place where they're open or they're swinging, and they're like the most loving couples. Like, it's pretty fucking cool to watch them navigate it and to be like, yeah, last night she went out with this guy. It was really hot. And I go to dinner with them. Yeah, I've been in an open relationship. Not as like, it was just for like a year and a half. And it was more like I had a primary partner. It was in San Francisco and we saw each other like once a week. We knew like if he had an event or I had an event, we would be each other's plus one and we'd hang out. But I was dating other people. He was dating other people. Yeah.
So doesn't that mean that you guys are just not exclusive, like, we not exclusive. Official.
Yeah, there's so many different ways to look at it. Yeah. And I would be more open. I mean, honestly, like, I have been in open things, and I feel like a lot of us are because we're just dating a bunch of people and not telling them that we're sleeping with other people. So a lot of us actually are in open relationships, are open, or we're just kind of casually dating. But yeah, you know.
But do you believe in monogamy?
I believe in monogamy. I believe in, like, monogamish, to, like, quote Dan Savage. I think that. I think what this is personally for me, and everybody gets to decide. And in fact, most people I know who have alternative relationships start out this way. I want monogamy for sure at the beginning. Like, I don't think you can start, for me, open. Like, we love each other, but we're also sleeping with other people. I think you need that time of really, like, it's just us and we built out. And then we decide after a year or two or 10 that, oh yeah, let's go to a play party, or let's go figure out what it'd be like to be with someone else. And then we would talk about it and have boundaries. So I think I could do it. But right now, I mean, where I'm at now, I'd want to be monogamous first.
Yeah. I definitely want to not be monogamous when I first start talking to a guy, even though sometimes it seems like guys don't believe me when I say that. But I like it to just go slow to see if I like them. Same. And even if I'm not talking to anyone else, I feel like the pressure of feeling like you're already attached to someone without getting to know them ruins everything.
Yeah.
So, like, for me, I'm okay with being in a quote-unquote open relationship in the beginning.
Absolutely.
But then I want to move into monogamy.
But how soon in? Right. Like, because I think sometimes we rush into it too quickly.
You're right.
So I feel like what happens is we're like sleeping with someone 3 or 4 times, and then we're like, maybe it's over a month. And then we're like, well, I don't want him sleeping with someone else, so let's, like, lock it down.
Because even if you don't like him enough yet.
Yeah, we don't even know. Yeah, I can't handle you being with someone else, so let's stay committed. Let's get committed. Let's be committed to each other. But then I think we might say yes because it's so new and exciting, and that's, like, the best time in a relationship, or that's the most, like, where those love chemicals, like, oxytocin, we're, like, connecting and bonding. But then it's like, you don't know someone after a month. You don't even know someone after 2 months. So I think sometimes we rush that process, that it's okay to not want to sleep with anyone else when you first start seeing someone, but I don't think it also means that you should lock it down too quickly, because I think we got to know each other.
Especially as you get older, because, like, that could maybe be, like, your future partner forever. So I think it's better to take it slow. I agree with that.
And I think everyone gets to decide too, as long as you're honest.
Do you have a good advice when it comes to knowing how to kiss? I know. Do you have a good do you have advice for, like, how to kiss really good? I feel like no one ever asks. That's always about penetration.
It's such a good question. I feel like kissing is like a dance, and that you have to, like, I think a great thing to do is sort of pay attention to, like, almost like doing, like, relaxing your mouth. I think sometimes we get too tense, and there are exercises you could do that, like, relax your jaw. Like, if you grind your teeth at night, which I do, like, I have, like, a tight jaw. Like, you want to, like, make sure that you're, like, fluid, and that when you're with someone, you're just sort of like, it is like dancing, right? Like, you kind of follow each other's lead. And so what I can say is that my advice for kissing is to kind of go slow, to kind of don't just, like, start sticking your tongue in right away and not paying attention to the other person. I think my best advice for figuring out kissing is to say to someone, if you're not liking how they kiss, show me how you like to kiss. Like, show me how you want to be kissed. And then I'm going to show you how I want to be kissed. And then you kind of figure out an amalgamation of those two. And you,
like, how do you know how much tongue to put in? Or do you move your tongue around? Or, like, how much is too much biting, lip biting?
I feel like it's just...
natural?
I think it's a but no, I've had times where I'm like, am I a bad kisser? Like, I've stumped up with someone. I'm like, is it me? Is it them? And then when I relax into it, it's not a problem anymore. Like, I've had people... Because I think people are like, if they're a bad kisser, I'm out. And I don't agree with that. I don't even agree if they're bad the first time they should... Or you think they're bad because... It's fucking sex. It's so hard to figure out what you want. So I think my best sex advice across the board, whether it's kissing or sex or oral or anything, is to slow down. I think we go way too fast. And if you like make out, maybe you're just doing like light kisses and then there's a little tongue and then there's a little nibble and then you go back to the kissing and then your mouths, if your mouths are like relaxed, you kind of get into a flow, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you're feeling that it's too, just kind of stop for a minute and be like, I'm nervous or I'm... Then breathe and then go back to it again. But I think when we're trying to figure out kissing and we're in our head, it's not going to flow with someone.
What's a good way to like nibble on a guy's ear? Or a girl's ear?
Lick. I think like lick it and then like a nibble is like a nibble. It's not a bite. It's like a little like, just like a tiny, like use your tongue, make sure it's wet. And then just...
Should like you nibble, breathe in the guy, in the person's ear? Like, does that turn them on?
Some people like that. Not too heavy. Listen, there's a lot of nerve. The ear and the nape of the neck are so ignored.
I love doing that.
Me too.
I think,
it's
so cute.
I think to like lick it and then blow on it. And like some people love their ear kissed or licked or breathed. Some people don't. So, but I think again, test it out. Do like a little breath or like say something in their ear like, you're so fucking hot. Like whisper in it. And see if they're like, oh, that feels good. Right. Don't go down on me tonight. Wash your hands.
Like sexy things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, sexy things like that. Your dick is a lot smaller than I thought. Don't ever talk about their penis.
No.
But I think, yeah, I think like, but I think I love that you're asking this because we forget that the ears, that the neck, nape of the neck is, I know, I'm like, my neck is so sensitive. Like, I love that. And I
love
feel like,
kissing a guy's neck.
Me too. I love it. I love kissing their neck. Like, I kiss all around their ear, the inside of the ear, the back, like everywhere. I think that they're into
their
it because
their
gooch.
It's the tape, the balls, the area between the balls and the butthole.
They love that.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know if they like it. I like it. I think it's funny.
Yeah, they like it. They've showered. If we've all showered.
Anyway, I know you have to go. So thank you so much, by the way, for coming on again. I feel like you have to come back.
I will. No, dude, we're right on the corner. Yeah. I'll come back on mine too.
I'm coming on yours soon again. So is there anything that I didn't ask you that you wish I did, even though it doesn't matter because we don't have time?
We've got no, I just adore being here and I love watching you change and grow and like stand up for yourself and figure out what you love and what you like. And
I love that too.
Yeah, I adore you. There's nothing else. No, just keep doing you. And I'm checking my podcast, Sex with Emily. I do 3 a week.
So Sex with Emily, it's on 3 days a week.
Yeah, I release 3 podcasts. And then I'm on Sirius XM Radio every night, 5 o'clock Pacific on Stars 109 and all my social media, Sex with Emily.
I'm coming back on her podcast the end of this month.
Oh, good. We booked it. I love it.
So I'm excited for that.
That was a blast. We had breaking news last time.
Anyway, and also where can people find you on social media?
It's Sex with Emily. Across Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at Sex with Emily everywhere. And then the podcast is Sex with Emily. And questions, feedback at sexwithemily.com.
Great. So she has a website. Check out that. She has a bunch of toys.
Oh, the Vesper, you guys. This is a great gift. It's $69, like $150 because it comes in silver, rose gold, gold. You can get engravings on it. It's just like... Meditate, masturbate, manifest. I come first. It's elegant. It's beautiful. It'll make you come and feel cool.
So if you're not watching my YouTube my YouTube channel video and you're just listening to a podcast, she was pointing at her necklace vibrator.
Yeah, sexwithemily.com/Vesper.
Great. Yeah. And you can find her on Sex with Emily on all social media platforms. Don't forget to check out her podcast, which I'll be on soon. And make sure to DM her if you have any questions. And again, thank you so much for being on my podcast. And thank you guys so much for listening for another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy. Don't forget to rate me and give me 5-star review. I will love you forever. I really do need those reviews. I think. I do. We anyway, do. Love you guys so much, and I'll see you guys again next week. Bye.
Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's Best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's Best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.